Welcome to the playbook. I'm David Meltzer here at the greatest stadium ever built. $5.5 billion will buy you this and host the World Cup, the Olympics, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Rams, as well as the Rolling Stones and U2 and many other your other favorite events. But my favorite event is interviewing the best and the greatest, the people who have the desire to change the world alongside my mission of empowering over a billion people to be happy. And I'm blessed to have the amazing Dr. Kien Vu on the playbook. Welcome to the playbook, my brother.
Thanks, brother.
So as you know, longevity has different meaning today than it did before. Mm. When I was younger, longevity meant, and it was my mission, to live a long time. But it's kind of like philanthropy. You can do well and do good. We want to live well for as long as we can.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be hooked to a machine for 100 years. I doubt it. Maybe somebody out there, but very few people. My mom recently passed, and I learned a lot about longevity because I could see the genetic and energetic inheritance that my mom had passed on to me. But I also saw the behaviors of my mom that led her to pass away at 81 years old and not have the capability that I want to have at 81. When she died, the last time I got to speak with her, she, in mental capacity, had diminished, had some early Alzheimer, dementia for sure, didn't always recognize me or remember everything, but remember me that day, the last day I was with her, and I remember telling her that I was inspired by her telling me that I would be a doctor, a lawyer, or a failure. And I fought that for so long. But one of the last things I told my mom before she passed was, "Mom, I'm proud to tell you that I'm a doctor. I got an honorary doctorate in humanities just before she passed. I'm a lawyer," which she knew, "and a failure," which she definitely knew. She looked at me and said, "Oh," she goes, "I'm so proud of you, especially for being such a good failure." When I think of all three of those, I think about the pressure that you were under and the misconception that you were under of what it was like to be a success.
Yeah,
you are a triple certified board doctor. You have such credibility in a space where there's a lot of false gurus, people that don't know what they're talking about. You actually know the genetic and the energetic scientific side of it, as well as the inspirational, aspirational, intuitive side of it. When I talk about doctor, lawyer, or failure, what resonates with you? What story comes to mind of what influence that type of parenting had on you?
Great question. You know, I was, part of my story is I was a boat refugee from Vietnam. And so when I came over, I was constantly being teased for the holes in my hand-me-down clothes for the—
We call it teasing back then, it's bullying now.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying. I heard a new term today, justicely impact. I think that means you were in prison, but— Like justicely impact, I was like, isn't everybody justicely impact? Like, I get pulled over, I'm justicely impact. I get my tax bill, I'm justicely impact. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, that upbringing of being bullied, of not being seen as who I am, I constantly walk around with this feeling of I'm not enough. Mm. Not enough in the schools that I was in, not white enough, not American enough. And then at home, I was forced down this route of, you know, going and representing the family and becoming this doctor. And so I picked up all these distortions of me not being me, and I hustled and I was chasing success. And after being trained at the National Institutes of Health, the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, after being chief of interventional radiology in my hospital, I was overweight, diabetic, had high blood pressure, and on prescription medications. And so we pick up these messages from potentially our ancestors, but we pick it up growing up. And if we start to forget who we are, that we are this infinite being of love and possibility, but we're distorted under these beliefs of I'm not worthy, I'm not enough. And we go through life feeling that way. We are actually giving messages to our mitochondria and to our DNA that then actually drives the process of disease in our body. It is only until we can wake up to this beauty of life, of feeling like we're alive, like she was saying. It's beautiful to be alive, to recognize that this breath is a gift and I get to experience this. That energy of aliveness not only promotes longevity, promotes our human potential, but awakening up to that, I think, is going to be the crux of where the longevity and where the health space is going, because we have produced technologies to keep people alive. We have ventilators, we have dialysis machines that can keep people sort of breathing unconsciously. And we are basically spending more than any other country in the world, yet we have the worst outcomes. Why is that? I believe that is the case because if we live in this mask of I'm not enough, that I need to be somebody that I'm not, we are producing this energetic in the world that starts to create disease in our body. We need to start waking up, and that's the access to our human potential.
Throughout what you just described is a reconciliation that is occurring that you help facilitate. Facilitate means to make easy. That's why I like to be a facilitator of many different things. I like to make things easy by dissipating the dis-easy, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional dis-ease. Mm. In the construct, you said something about being infinite beings. Infinite beings are not human beings. And there's a human experience dictated by the machines that we have to keep you alive. I believe that we are given a human experience from the time our heart starts till the time it stops.
Yeah.
But that's not longevity to me anymore. Mm. To keep my heart beating for as long as I can, not interesting to me at all. What's interesting to me is these limitations of not enough, failure, setbacks, historical relevances, genetic, energetic inheritances, defining moments. And in studying Einstein, not only have I really got greater clarity in time, linear time, but also the importance of relativity. Not just at a physics, metaphysics, quantum physics level, but in a general practitioner's level that is so meaningful that relativity is so important.
Yeah.
Relativity is what meaning you give anything. One of the superpowers of human beings in the linear time that you're given 24 hours a day, every day of your life, except for the last day of your life, you'll be cheated. Write that down. But most importantly, the meaning we give that time is ours. You give meaning. If you want a takeaway and you can't think of one at the end of the day, you give meaning to everything you see. So when I lost everything, had to tell my mom I lost everything, including her home, when the only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy my mom a house, take away the financial insecurity that I thought punished me, but instead promoted and protected me my whole life.
Yeah.
The financial insecurity that I wasn't enough because of how much money was in my bank.
Yeah.
When I started to realize that I have the power to take a bankruptcy, losing my mom's house, and give it a meaning that would allow me to change the world, to empower over 1 billion people to be happy, create a collective consciousness of happiness, 1/8 of the world happy. And if you doubt me, I don't. So I don't care. Because I know I can find 1,000 of you in my lifetime that I can teach to teach 1,000 to teach 1,000. Take young Tyler, young Max, young Eric right there. I got 3 right there that I know that if I pour into them, that they'll empower 1,000 people to empower 1,000 people. I may not be here in my human beingness, but in my infinite being, my legacy is already on its way. In a more doctor sense, disease. You know, I see people dieting, eating, but they put so much stress on themselves to eat right. I think it has more detriment than going to McDonald's.
Yeah.
How does this all work with ease and disease?
Great question. And when you talk about meaning, it's such a great tool to be able to shift how you make things mean. Because your meaning to things dictates how you feel.
The highest level of intention.
Exactly. How you actually feel is a living and breathing gauge of everything that's happening inside your body. When you're feeling stressed, angry, worried, not enough, when you have those feelings in your body, you're basically circulating the hormones and the neurotransmitter of stress. You're changing your nervous system around. And what you're giving signals to, you're giving signals, both physical and non-physical energetic signals to your mitochondria that are not just the battery packs of your body, but it directs how your ATP, your energy mechanisms are being sent. Are you using all of your energy for growth, for healing, to have this vessel become alive? Or are you telling your mitochondria that you're in danger? And then it basically sends all your body's energies towards protection, towards inflammation, And that creates dis-ease in your body. And that is how I got hypertension. That was why I was overweight. So I was giving that energy of disease. But if you could start to shift the meaning, when you're able to recognize that when I start to feel anger, when I start to feel stress, what lie is in my body right now? Am I feeling like I'm not enough? What version, what belief must I let go of to remember that this source, this universe has given me this beautiful gift that is life? And if you can recognize the lies, because in our body, we actually have something called the default mode network. So in this human meat suit, we have a nervous system that has learned from children of looking out for danger. And so we pick up that maybe we can't be ourselves. Maybe we can't be seen. And so we put on a mask of who we authentically are. And if we approach life in that manner of needing, I need to chase success, like I need something outside of myself, you're basically giving your bodies those signals of danger. So awakening up to that, changing the meaning, knowing that at any moment in time, it could be any circumstance outside in the world that I feel blessed to be alive, and I get to create, I get to serve no matter what. All of a sudden, you are in a new energy. That new energy starts to feed new messages to your DNA and your mitochondria, and that makes you feel more alive. That is the path of ease. That is the path of gratitude. And that's also the access to longevity. And here's another thing, as we talk about longevity, yes, living that way will make us live longer and perform better. But if we remember that quote from Maya Angelou, that people won't remember what you say, but they'll remember how you make them feel. What she's actually saying is you're transmitting this energy. And if you transmit this energy of abundance, of love, and you serve other people, all of a sudden that energy is now instilled in Tyler. And it's instilled in the next person. And when I think about like legacy and living a long time, what if your legacy is leaving people how they feel? And no one can take that away. We have people in the longevity space right now that are thinking, wow, how do I not die? Don't die is their mantra.
Live longer.
Right. Live longer is great, but don't die. If you're afraid, if you're afraid of dying, you're saying, oh my gosh, you know what? I need this meat suit to be alive. All of a sudden, you're then turning on the biologies of stress and inflammation in your body that are basically unconsciously, you know, creating disease. So that fact of living, of serving, that energy that you create right here in this community is the energy of human potential.
And in our potential lies, for me, the idea of feeling alive. I remember a conversation you had when you wrote your first book,
Thrive State.
Yep. Thrive State. I said, Ken, I'm going to live to more than 111. And he said, well, that's great, but I hope you feel alive for over 111 years. Because most people want to live longer, but they don't understand what you really want is to feel alive.
Yeah.
And when I started to realize, I feel alive every day. Mm. And people see it, they feel it, they know it when they meet me, they don't know who I am, but I make a difference in a room, they'll say, who is that? Not because I'm the best looking, strongest, fastest, or most interesting person. It's because of the way the energy feels, because I feel so alive every day, because I get to do every single thing that I want to do. I'm one of the wealthiest people on the planet because I get to do what I want, when I want, with who I want for as long as I want. My bank account may not be as big as Elon Musk or Bezos, both who I know, but I promise you, they don't get to do what they want, when they want, with who they want, for as long as they want. Dave Meltzer does. Dave Meltzer does. If I decided right now, you know what, Alex, I don't want to be here anymore. Let's go over and, you know, watch a game together. We could just go, both of us, because we get to do what we want, when we want, with who we want. And guess what? The mastermind will be fine. I actually didn't show up to one of my masterminds because I had a personal issue that I wanted to deal with more than being here. And the mastermind was great. People still came back. I heard. I wasn't there. But I imagine it could be for you. last question, then we're going to take Q&A. Yeah. When I ask the last question, we're going to edit this out. I'm going to close out the podcast, and then we'll ask questions. So get your questions ready. I always like to ask people their biggest takeaway. Part of the mastermind's purpose is to know your biggest takeaway. Yeah. You experience so much. You've been on TV shows that are not relevant at all to thriving. Right? We all know the famous TV show. Go ahead, let them know.
Squid Game.
Squid Games. Yep. How cool is that? Yeah, he was on Squid Game, the TV show. But through our experiences, we're supposed to learn things. That's what we're here to do. What's been your greatest lesson since the last time we spoke?
That all of life is lessons and blessings. That we have this gift. And when we feel a challenge, it's like the universe gifting you this gift of pressure. We don't grow a muscle without a challenge. That's similar to everything in life. And so when we're given these things where we can learn, all of a sudden we grow. And then we're gifted with more. And we're given the challenge that we get to go through so that we can learn just how beautiful life is. And so the greatest lesson that I've had is just recognizing that every single breath is a beautiful gift. And when you can access that energy, and when you know that, and you live that way, man, you are the richest, wealthiest, and healthiest person in the world.
I love it. Don't waste the struggle. That's why we have the Playbook to Success with incredible entrepreneurs, speakers, authors, and great friends like Dr. Kien Vu. This is David Meltzer at the greatest stadium ever built here with the Playbook.